Hello, my beautiful Woman Inc. listeners. Welcome back. My guest this week is the incredible Joanna Candel. Joanna is the founder and CEO of The Alliance. The Alliance is the leading national nonprofit organization dedicated to outreach, education, early intervention, support, and advocacy for all eating disorders. Through their numerous life-saving services, including referrals to all levels of care, free weekly clinician-led support groups, low-cost outpatient treatment, and training for healthcare providers, The Alliance works tirelessly to ensure that not one more life is lost to this insidious disease. I am so incredibly grateful to have Joanna on the podcast. She speaks about her own personal experiences and struggles with her eating disorder. This is going to help so many people. I believe that sharing our stories and the parts of ourselves that we maybe just wish could go away are the parts of ourselves that we need to share the most, because other people are waiting to hear our story so that they can find the strength within themselves to heal. I'm always so grateful when people speak openly and authentically. And that is just the essence of Joanna. She speaks on advocacy and using your voice, as well as overcoming hardship and utilizing it to make a difference. If you are struggling with an eating disorder and you're a listener of the Woman Inc. podcast, I hope this episode just brings you the support and light that you need. The Alliance is an incredible resource. Please, please look into them, look into Joanna, and just know that you're not alone and that we are here to support you as a community. So now let's get on over to my conversation with Joanna. Welcome to the Woman Inc. podcast. This is the place for the new generation of women looking to lead the life of their absolute dreams. I'm your host, Jenna Toddy, entrepreneur, life coach, and strategist for modern businesswomen and entrepreneurs. I am a city girl, sriracha lover, and that friend who will hype you up when you forget how powerful you truly are. I am on a mission to make Women Inc. the most powerful network of women who are leveling up, owning what they want, and becoming who they've always wanted to be. Have you ever wondered what it would look like if you went all in on yourself, no turning back? If so, you are in the right place, my girl. Let's get started. Joanna, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. This is such a different episode than I've ever done. I'm so excited to dive into how the Alliance was started, why it was started, and get into the whole mission. But I want to first dive into your background and what you were doing leading up to the Alliance and how you found yourself where you are now.
Yeah. So for me, the Alliance is really a labor of love. It is literally my struggle with my own eating disorder and so many things I've seen through my, you know, experience being someone that has struggled, but also being a loved one of someone who has struggled, truly has created the blueprint of what the Alliance is. You know, there's so much misinformation surrounding eating disorders. And I think, you know, just even to set the stage is letting folks know eating disorders are, you know, brain-based serious mental illness. They are a psychiatric disorder. They're not a disorder of choice. Someone doesn't wake up in the morning, look outside and, you know, it's a beautiful day in insert city. I think I'm going to have an eating disorder today. They are mental health disorders. It's estimated that 1 in 9 Americans will actually experience an eating disorder in their lifetime. So, you know, I'm so grateful to have this platform because I really believe that everybody knows somebody. And, you know, I think one of my biggest hopes whenever I'm given an opportunity to speak is, number one, is letting people know that they're not alone. But also by the end of this conversation, for individuals to know that eating disorders do not present in one certain way, and that they do not discriminate between age, gender, race, class, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, ability, neurodiversity, and mostly between body shape and size. So that's what brought me here to my work. And I feel so incredibly lucky to be able to do this work.
Wow. And so when did you start the Alliance, Joanna?
Yeah, so I started the Alliance 23 years ago, which is pretty wild. I'm like, okay, it's so funny when I have team members that are younger than the Alliance, like it makes me giggle a little bit and I have so much gratitude, right? So I had struggled with my own eating disorder for over 10 years. I call myself a very non-discriminatory eating disorder human because I struggled with many types of eating disorders. And, you know, one thing that I love to just advocate for all the time is letting folks know that there's really not one eating disorder that's more serious than the other. All of them have serious ramifications. I was 11 and a half when I started struggling with restricting anorexia nervosa. You know, as we know, as I shared, that eating disorders are biologically based, so they do run in families. My family members have struggled with eating disorders, but I didn't know that they did. It wasn't something that I learned from them. They just had histories of eating disorders. They also show up with co-occurrent mental health disorders like anxiety, depression, PTSD, trauma, obsessive compulsive disorder. And I struggled with anxiety for as long as I could remember. And, you know, I was very much a perfectionist. I was a people pleaser. I think just all of that created that perfect storm. And for me, that proverbial trigger pull was I was a ballet dancer. And, you know, at the age of 11 and a half, we had this huge opportunity to audition for this special production of The Nutcracker. And our artistic director talked about, you know, we have to lose weight before the audition. That was just for me, that external push that started me on the journey of restriction and dieting. And it's really important for me to let folks know that that wasn't the reason why. Obviously, there's all these other things, but that was the catalyst. I didn't set out to have an eating disorder. I just really, for me, it was that, you know, that saying, the path to hell is filled with good intentions. Like that was me. I thought I was doing something good. You know, I struggled in silence, Jenna, for over a decade with restricting anorexia nervosa, with bulimia and with binge eating disorder. Ultimately, I had to stop dancing. I was a professional ballet dancer. I had to stop dancing because of my eating disorder. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get access to care. I had found my way to a local university. It's where I was like, if I can't dance, then I want to be able to help others that are struggling with eating disorders. And I really thought that I could outsmart it. I thought that if I just learned enough and you know, if I was quote unquote dedicated enough, and I just couldn't, right? Like I just couldn't. It's like sort of telling someone with diabetes, hey, really focus, like ameliorating your sugar levels and you can do it. And that was where I found myself. And, you know, I was getting ready to go to graduate school because I wanted to be a psychologist that specialized in eating disorders. And I had this moment, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I had this moment of my fear, what could happen with a little bit less than that desire to ask for help. And in my black and white brain, I thought, well, all I have to do is ask for help and then I'll recover and, you know, I'll live happily ever after. And unfortunately, that wasn't my story. It was very nuanced. It was full of twists and turns, but ultimately it led me to really start an organization that would have been helpful for me and for the millions of people. So that's how it started.
Wow. And I don't know this, but my instinct is that if someone were to come forward with having an eating disorder, the first response would be shame. Like, just start eating. Like, why? It's like,
yeah,
judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. So much shame, so much stigma. And I think that we also live in a very weight stigmatized society, right? We live in a very diet centric, fat phobic world where, I mean, sizeism is still an acceptable way of discrimination in the majority of states in the country, which just blows my mind. And, you know, oftentimes, and I don't want to overgeneralize, but oftentimes the individuals that we see that, you know, develop eating disorders are individuals that are extremely intelligent, high performing, high functioning. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like with me, there was so much shame surrounding my eating disorder. But at the same time, it was how I survived. It was, to me, a maladaptive coping mechanism. It was sort of that lifeline for me to deal in a very unhealthy way with the not feeling good enough, the low self-esteem, a reaction of trauma and anxiety. So all of that together.
Yeah. if someone in your family or your friend circle and you feel that there is something going on, what is the best way to support them?
That is such a good question. I think more than anything, you know, lead with care, compassion, and love. So utilize I statements. Talk to them one-on-one, you know, and really come from a place of support. I've noticed that you are perhaps, you know, not as, you know, extroverted, or you don't have as much energy. And I see that you haven't been doing X, Y, and Z. I'm really worried about you. I care about you, and I can help if you allow me to. And we're here to help also. We have a phenomenal helpline that's open Monday through Friday, that's staffed with specialized and licensed clinicians, that we can even give you those tools. We can help your loved one connect to care. We have amazing free therapist-led support groups for individuals struggling from eating disorders, as well as loved ones. So know that you have a resource, but always lead with love, compassion, and support. Do not get into a disagreement over, you know, food specifically, or you can't do this. What are you doing? Come at it with that I statement.
And something I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but if you comment on like, you look really skinny, that could actually backfire, because that's almost a compliment. They're like, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I just, you know, I think in my personal life and just, you know, with individuals around me, is I've just stopped making any weight or shape related comments across the board, because yes, you know, they might be struggling with an eating disorder, but they also might be struggling with a physical ailment that they might not be ready to talk about. So one of the things that I love to do, like if I want to pay someone that I meet a compliment, or it's really so wonderful to see you, or that, you know, dress, that shirt really compliments your eyes. And I mean, one of the things too is if you have a loved one that's on the journey to recovery and they are taking the steps, like our first inclination is, oh my God, you look so good. You look so much healthier. But that can be heard in a very triggering way. So to me, what I always notice first and foremost when someone's on the journey to recovery is when light comes back into their eyes. And I like to say, it's really nice to spend time with you. It's really nice to see the light in your eyes. But as a blanket statement, I think, could you imagine if we started complimenting things other than physicality? Like, oh wow, you're so witty, or you're so funny, or, you know, I just love spending time with you. So absolutely, you're right on.
So let's get into the Alliance. What could someone expect to find when they come to the Alliance? What is the treatment protocol? And like, what are some things that someone could expect going through the process?
Sure. So, you know, the Alliance has definitely grown over the years. We started as a very grassroots, localized organization, and then, you know, in the South Florida area, then grew to a state, then like a Southeastern, then an Eastern, and then really over the time of the pandemic, we've really grown into the national organization out there. And that was really honestly done by, we knew that individuals during the pandemic would need more support than ever. It had the makeup of being opportunities for people to really be struggling. And now that we're out of it and we're looking at the data, we were right. There is 100% increase in hospitalizations in adolescents that are struggling with eating disorders. Now, I also want to say here that it's not just adolescents that struggle with eating disorders. I mean, just to give you an idea of like our helpline, for example, 31% of our calls are for individuals that are younger than the age of 18. Like, so a big chunk. But then 10% of our calls are for individuals that are 60 and older, and it's really spread out over. So it just shows you again that eating disorders do not discriminate, and we are an organization for the whole gamut. So we do this by our free therapist-led helpline. And so you can give us a call. And what's really wonderful about having therapists pick up the phone is that, you know, they could give you really great education about eating disorders. If you're not sure where you are, we could have that conversation with you of like, hey, are you struggling with this? Are you experiencing this? And maybe you're not ready to ask for help. Maybe you're not ready to get resources, but we are a safe place to talk. And then you might be looking for resources, and we can give you resources from outpatient providers like therapists, dietitians, psychiatrists, all the way up to if you need acute medicals like hospitalization. So we have all of it. So that's one way that we can support you. On the flip side, if you don't want to pick up the phone, because we know that for a lot of people, that is really big. We have a website called findedhelp.com, findeatingdisorderhelp.com. And you can put in your insurance, you can put in your level of care you're looking for, the type of provider. And that has over 3,000 listings in it of therapists, dietitians, and treatment centers. So that's one way that we can help you connect to care. The other way is through our support groups. And that really, honestly, Jenna, comes from a time where I was craving being in community so bad. I just needed someone to look at me and say, me too. Or be in a room and someone say something that I was thinking that made me feel so alone, so othered, so isolated. And so we created these free therapist-led support groups, and we had 21 of them in person across the country prior to the pandemic. And from Friday, March 13th, 2020, to Monday, March 16th, 2020, we had to change everything to a virtual setting. And we honestly didn't know what was going to happen. But what has happened has truly been remarkable. So now we actually have 10 free weekly therapist-led virtual support groups for individuals that are struggling. We have a group that is for the queer community. We have a group that is for individuals that have lost people to eating disorders. We have a group for individuals that live in larger bodies. We have a group for loved ones. We have a group for moms connecting with other moms. And then we also have 10 in-person groups as well across the country. And those are free. And for, you know, 2/3 of the individuals that are struggling with eating disorders that are not able to get access to care, we really want to be there to support them and still create community and support, even though they can't get the level of care they need.
Amazing. So you've been doing this a while now, but what are some challenges that you've run into in growing and scaling a nonprofit?
Oh, so many. I think first and foremost, so I started the Alliance when I was 21. And, you know, that was at a time where it wasn't cool to be young and starting a nonprofit. So, you know, I remember some of the meetings that I had where people would say to me, like, you know, where's your boss or where's your parents? A lot of like not believing that I had something to say. So I think that that was definitely a hurdle. I think the biggest obstacle with growing and scaling is the fact, and I think you said it so beautifully earlier, is the shame and stigma surrounding eating disorders, right? I think that we're getting closer to, you know, really raising awareness around it. Like the fact that I can come on like a podcast like this and talk about eating disorders, where perhaps 10 years ago, maybe we didn't have podcasts, but it wasn't, people were like, oh, I don't really want to talk about it, right? So I think really that is it. And that we're talking about like the whole lay population, but also within the mental health population, there's so many mental health providers that are like, eating disorders are not mental health disorders. And we're like, they are. They also have the second highest lethality rate of all psychiatric disorders. And I think that is an obstacle with awareness building, but also funding and scaling as well, is that, you know, individuals that have been personally connected and perhaps maybe want to fund it, don't necessarily want to have their names attached to it. So I think that the shame and stigma has been probably the biggest obstacle in scaling.
Of getting funding, getting people to truly take you seriously.
Exactly, exactly. And what I like to challenge like our donors and our funders is how awesome that you can have so much impact on something that affects everyone. And I think one of the things that I've learned along the way is a little bit goes a very long way.
Yes. Well, first, I love that you started a company at 21. I think that is so badass.
Thank you.
Especially coming out of healing and just using your voice. And that was a lot of risk for you personally to go help other people. So I think that's beautiful.
I really appreciate that. I will say that, you know, the first 10 years of the Alliance, I basically paid the Alliance to work for the organization. I worked 3 different jobs to keep it going. And honestly, I couldn't imagine not doing it, right? Like, and people ask me all the time, you know, as a founder, you know, a lot of founders leave, specifically the nonprofit world, after the first 10 years. And to me, this is why I get up in the morning, is because I see so many inequities. I see so many obstacles in which, you know, access to care should not be a privilege. It's a necessity. And I have to say, the biggest gift of all is when I get to see individuals that, you know, are on the path to recovery. And I'll get a phone call or an email from someone that's like, you know, I just finished this MBA program, or I just got married to my partner, or I just had a child, or just to be a bystander in someone else's journey makes what I went through and what so many people go through just worth it. And being able to pay it forward, I mean, that's why I show up every day.
A lot of women that listen to this podcast are definitely overachievers. So for anyone who's listening that may be struggling with an eating disorder right now, what is something that you needed to be told when you were still in your eating disorder phase?
I think just that reminder that you did not cause this. This is not your fault. That there's help available, that recovery is possible. That although we view things as like the journey to recovery, in my mind, was supposed to be very linear. It's all or nothing, black or white. I have to be perfect. And the journey to recovery from an eating disorder is so far from that, is you will trip and fall. You absolutely will trip and fall. It's going to be so messy, but it's not about the trips and the falls. It's what happens right after that moment, right? It's, and also realizing that we're not supposed to do this alone. Like there's a saying, you know, fall down 7 times, stand up 8. I'm like, who only fell 7 times? I'd like to find that person and have a conversation. I mean, I fell down so many times. And when I realized that I could reach out for a hand to help me stand up, and that it's going to take time, but it is so worth it. Recovery is the hardest thing I ever did, by far, but it's also the best thing that I ever did. It allowed me to not only start the Alliance, it allowed me to be in a relationship with my partner. It's allowed me to laugh and cry. And no matter where you are in your struggle, please know that despite the shitty committee between our ears that tells us that, you know, we don't deserve this, we're not good enough, we can't do it, absolutely not. There is help and there is hope, and we are here to help every step along the way.
I love data. I'm definitely someone who leans into trying to find as much data as possible. Have you been able to do any of your own studies as far as a lot of the things you're talking about? Because I think that can really help with the stigma.
Yeah, for sure. We actually just did, we wanted to, you know, I mean, because I can, we can share numbers, right? We had over 242,000 referrals to care last year in 2022 alone. And we had over 20,000 participants that attended our support group, which to us speaks volumes, right? Like that there's individuals that are looking, that there's people that need help and support. But also we took it an extra like layer this year to take a look at the efficacy of these support groups. And one of the things that we found, and it was, we had a pretty significant data point. We had over 400 individuals that responded to the survey that we had done, is that just simply attending our support groups increases hopefulness. And by engaging in support groups, like talking and writing in chat, actually decreases eating disorder symptomatology. And I think the biggest thing for me of all is, you know, going back to that stigma, that shame, is that level of connectedness, this feeling of being in community, literally had a 50% increase in individuals that came in group. And that is huge.
When thinking of the future of the Alliance, what's the goal? Like, what are you dreaming of in the next few years?
Yeah, one of the things that, as a founder, as a woman who runs a business in a sense, this past year, we actually engaged in a pretty significant consultation process, basically to pause and to be very mindful and aware of how we take those steps forward, because people need our help now more than ever. So one of the things that we really honed in on was our referral line and our support groups, like scaling those. Like, I mean, there's no secret that in my in my vision, right, when we're looking at our five-year plan, having our phone lines open 24/7 and always staying with this idea of having licensed providers on the phone. Volunteers are phenomenal. They're phenomenal. They are what make our organization. And for those specific calls, having that licensed provider that can do de-escalation if someone is wanting to harm themselves, and to be able to do that warm handoff to a crisis text line or a 988. So definitely scaling our helplines and also having so many more support groups available. So right now we have people from all 50 states and 80 countries around the world that attend our groups. My best friend is sober from drugs and alcohol for a long time. No matter where he is in the world, he can attend a meeting. I want that for our eating disorder community. So scaling the amounts of free therapist groups during the day, weekends, different times during the night to work with different time zones. And very much also to continue to push the needle in the general eating disorder conversation. Our North Star here at the Alliance is ensuring that eating disorders are part of the general mental health conversation. So we're doing that by doing more higher scale advocacy event. We did the first ever event, the United Nations, this past June, where it was, the first time eating disorders were talked about at the UN. We work very closely with members of Congress and Senate, but even having whoever is the administration, really taking this on as a public policy initiative and working in collectives with a lot of the people that are doing amazing work.
This takes another level of operational skills, but also just you as a leader to be able to go sit and have meetings at the UN and to advocate with Congress. Who did you have to become in the last 23 years that is a woman who's able to operate at this level?
Oh, that's a really good question. So a fun fact about me is that I am so scared of networking in rooms that I don't know anyone, right? Like when you're at a cocktail party, you have to go up to people. I pretty much stand by the wall and you can't basically see me because I match, the wallpaper. And yet at the same time, when I am given the opportunity, because I worked really hard to be given opportunities to have conversations with individuals that hold so much privilege and power. And I also am very aware of the privilege that I hold as well, right? Within my identity, I think about all the people that are not there. And that's what really gives me the confidence to be able to meet with them and share. And the one thing that for me, I'm a two-time grad school dropout, wasn't for me. I was never taught how to run a nonprofit. I'm so grateful that now a lot of graduate schools are teaching nonprofit management. I'm so envious that I had to do everything wrong to figure it out, right? I'm just someone who cares and who almost lost my life and who really wants it to be better for other folks. And that's what I lead with. I don't think that there's anything wrong with showing who you are. And I may not know, I might not have, an MBA from this, big business school, but I have life experience. I have lived experience and I just want to make a difference. So I think that that's really what comes across.
Yes. Those are the most inspiring people to me. Not the Harvard MBA. Those are cool too, but learning it and just going for it, I think is so inspiring. Joanna, my last question for you. This has been so amazing and I've truly learned so much. So much of this is news to me. So I think just education is really powerful and this will help hopefully so many people. But my last question for you is, what would be your number one piece of advice for a woman who's wanting to start her own business?
No, it's an answer. It's not the final answer. Sometimes when I get scared or I get overwhelmed, I think back to that 21-year-old self that I was, when I was so excited to just try. And, it's so funny because my husband and I always talk about, he'll say, or I'll say, it's a good thing that I'm stubborn because I've survived many, many things. I think that at this point in my life, I've changed that word to tenacious. So lean into tenacity. Don't be afraid to follow your dream. There will be a lot of people that are going to not believe in you. There's going to be a lot of naysayers, but follow that. To me, I call it that fire in my belly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. hope is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of bravery and empowerment. Don't be bashful to get mentors. And the last thing that I would say is don't only, you know, shout in your echo chamber. Bring other folks into your space. Because even if you don't truly align with your mission, you can always learn from other people. Never stop learning. And do it. Just do it.
So good. Joanna, thank you so much. Where can everyone find you, find the Alliance?
Absolutely. So you can find us online at allianceforeatingdisorders.com. You can follow us on our social platforms at AllianceForED. And then if we can connect you to care on our helpline, that number is 866-662-1235. We're here. And please reach out if you need us.
Yes. Thank you so, so much. You are amazing. And I'm so honored to have had you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Take good care.